This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Missy, what have you seen in terms of the offense and the changes in the last couple games?
Well, I think we saw points, especially last week in his first start. That was another primetime game against the New York team. That was the Jets. I think this week, we saw them actually starting faster. Unfortunately, touchdowns were nullified by penalties and things that it was just kind of shooting themselves in the foot. And to go the entire first half, neither team had a touchdown. But for the Steelers, that was clearly something that Coach Tomlin wanted and knew had to change in the second half. And luckily, we were able to see that. Yes, one was sparked by a punt return for a TD, not something we've seen here in Pittsburgh in our house since 2015 with Antonio Brown. So that's a throwback. But it was good to see, especially for Calvin Austin, to get a special teams TD and an offensive one.
How big was that moment, though, considering, as you say, the Steelers had been settling for field goals and not getting into the end zone, and then it comes from special teams, the spark?
Well, you know, we shouldn't be surprised by anything the Steelers special teams does. The past three games coming into tonight, blocking a kick of some sort, a punt, a field goal, an extra point. I mean, they just, Danny Smith's unit has been on point. I think for Calvin Austin, you know, he's just one of those guys that's easy to root for. Last week, Beanie Bishop, an undrafted rookie out of West Virginia, he had two interceptions. And then tonight, it was cool to see Calvin Austin, who we still consider a young guy due to his injury, his rookie season, to have two touchdowns.
Going back to the change that Mike Tomlin made from Justin Fields to Russell Wilson, now I'm not in Pittsburgh, so I don't know how unpopular the decision. Sometimes that's just about perception. But why do you think that he made that move?
I think he covets the been there, done that guy, the veteran, the guy who has seen as much as humanly possible in this game. And clearly experience does that. Playoff wins does that. Going to Super Bowls and winning one does that. And I think that is the reason why when they completely overhauled their quarterback room this offseason, kept nobody, whether it was by choice or not, they went after Russell Wilson first. And I think when things didn't go well with Kenny Pickett, their decision was still to try to trade for Justin Fields. So Russ was always the guy. I think it just became an issue, obviously, on the eve of training camp when he hurts his calf and isn't able to do a lot.
How is Justin handling the change?
I think he's doing great. They both are those like selfless, tireless workers who have been supportive of each other from the jump. This is even going back to like OTAs and mini camp, and you can say, yeah, it's football and shorts. But I still think that that's where you're building cultures. I'm out in a parking lot right now, so some coworkers are driving by. That's what that noise was. But, you know, for Justin, it clearly was not something that he wanted to happen, but the self-reflection of him saying, like, hey, I did not play well enough, and if I did, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So he kind of took that to heart, but I think he's a guy all of the offensive staff really grew to like and love working with. And, you know, I don't think this is the end for Justin Fields by any means in terms of his young football career. It's just Russ is continuing the winning streak and as I said, bring something just a little bit different other than, you know, the fact Justin's legs and how he was able to get Steelers offense out of a lot of jams when he was the starter. I mean, that was huge.
We're always excited to have Missy Matthews with us. And this time in the wake of Monday Night Football, as the Steelers move to 6-2, taking out the Giants at their own stadium. And she's a sideline reporter. Heard her tonight on the Steelers Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm not sure I've ever seen something quite like the George Pickens almost touchdown in the end zone. I understand the explanation, but man, he was in the middle of the end zone when he was coming down with that ball. His other foot never hit the turf. That was pretty crazy. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No, I don't know if it's crazier that he was able to hit the same foot twice or that both feet didn't hit. And, you know, watching it live, you're like, oh, 2 feet, we're good. And then you watch the replay and you're like, I think we're good. And then you start watching it again, you're like, oh, wait, that's the same foot. That really was a Debbie Downer per se, just because of how it was going in terms of not being able to find the end zone. just one of those three plays, I think it had everybody kind of dumbfounded of like, how does that happen?
How would you say the rhythm, the relationship, the connection is coming along between Russ and his top receiver and George?
I think it's great. George even said prior to last week how much extra time they had been spending just after practice and working together to get that rhythm, that timing and all that down. But if you go back to when Russ first came to the Steelers, I mean, he brought as many guys as were able to come out to his house in San Diego just to get to know him, to bond, whether it was over meals or to throw and get to know each other that way on a football field before he even stepped foot in the South Side. You know, being allowed to for OTAs. They did it again prior to the start of training camp. So I think he's just that guy that knows how to foster relationships. And I think, you know, George is one of those guys, as Russ said, if you throw it up there, you have a pretty good chance that Pickett's going to come down with it.
I remember last season when they started out with not much of a run game to speak of. And Mike Tomlin kept saying, we need to have more from the run game. We need to focus more on the run game. It really wasn't later in the season till we saw Najee Harris break out. And that corresponded with some Steelers wins. How would you describe the first half of the season for Najee in 2024?
Well, it definitely started slow and it was probably frustrating. It felt like you were seeing the angry runs. They just weren't going anywhere. And these past three games, he's never had three straight games of going over 100 plus yards in his career. There's not also a lot of Steelers in team history who have done it. I think he's the fifth. Franco and a number of other guys have done it multiple times. But I think that just proved that behind an offensive line that's had many moving pieces, who have struggled at times, they kept sticking with it. It's something Arthur Smith was adamant he wanted out of his offense when he came to Pittsburgh as the OC, to play physical, to run the ball. And you really saw that come to fruition, especially these last few games. I mean, you just look at Najee and even other guys in the locker room, even on defense, will say, you just don't want to tackle him. Patrick Queen knows all about Najee Harris. He was in Baltimore for a number of years, so he knows what it is like to tackle him. So I think that just proves that what he's doing is special.
167 rushing yards, that's a great number for their production on the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. I think even just the total number of offense is something we're not typically used to seeing in Pittsburgh the past few years. I think the only good news is after three primetime games and 4 weeks, with the other game being a trip to Las Vegas, it is their bye week coming up, and it's kind of a chance to get a lot of guys healthy. Nick Herbig still dealing with an injury. He wasn't able to go. Zach Frazier, their rookie center, who was playing so well. You can never have a bye week at a perfect time. And for them, it's hopefully going to work out in their favor, especially considering they've never played an AFC North opponent yet.
Missy Matthews is with us from Pittsburgh following Monday Night Football and a victory for the Steelers to move to 6-2 before the bye. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. How much does Mike Tomlin harp on red zone production, though? Because we've talked about the field goals, and they were 0-for-4 in the red zone tonight.
I wasn't in his post-game press conference. I was in the locker room talking to players, but I'm sure that's something he was pointing out, no doubt. But I think, you know, that's something that Russ had success with in Denver, even though there wasn't maybe a number of things in terms of wins had, but that's something that he is known for. I do feel like there were just some silly things that happened, that taking themselves down instead of taking advantage of it, you know, if some of those things go their way, we're talking about a completely different ball game at halftime instead of it being 9-9. But again, this is only Russ's second start. He hasn't played, you know, in quite some time. It's a new OC. I think the bye week is coming at the right time to try to clean up a lot of those mistakes. Even, you know, the Steelers' defense, the number of yards that they gave up, some of the chunk plays, that's something that, you know, I talked to Alex Highsmith after the game, is we had so many details that were not dotted. They were able to get the sacks in the second half to really, you know, force the Giants' hand, but they still let them stay in it a little bit too much.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Alex, because I was going to bring up Alex and TJ Watt, each of them having two sacks. And so they get to Daniel Jones four times. There's also another dozen QB hits. And I heard your report, actually, about TJ Watt on Monday nights on the Steelers Radio Network. Their performance, how big tonight?
I think we're all just so used to TJ, you know, standing up in the moment when you really need a play to go your way. But even tonight, Max Starks, who's on the sidelines with me, we were pretty close, and you just, like, knew from the second that ball was snapped, you're like, TJ's going to get this. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. Not only does he force the fumble, you know, he recovers it, and Alex even laughed. He's like, I thought I'd be able to get it because TJ was one-on-one. I knew he'd get the ball out. He's like, but he got to it faster than me. He's just that machine. He shines under the bright lights, and I feel like he always comes in clutch for the Steelers when they need a play, and they most certainly needed that play at that time. And I think for Alex, who missed some time with injuries, came back last week, but felt like he wasn't, you know, at his peak at 100%. And then to put on that performance tonight, he's an easy guy to cheer for and be happy for.
Last season, we saw every team in the AFC North finish above 500, even the Bengals, who did not have Joe Burrow for the second half of the season. It's a little different this year, but it's still Steelers and Ravens at the top, with Pittsburgh having that one game lead. What are your perceptions of the North so far this season, Missy?
I mean, it was crazy, you know, to have a Sunday off to sit there and just watch other teams play instead of, you know, looking on your phone. So I was definitely glued into the Baltimore and Cleveland game and cheering for Cleveland a little bit, obviously, due to where things currently stand. But I don't know. The North is just so unpredictable, and it's cliche, but you really do throw the records out. There's a reason why the Steelers haven't played a division game yet. They won't do it until week 11. And the fact that the AFC North is the division they picked to feature on Hard Knocks, all of those games are going to matter. They're all smack dab in the back end of the schedule, and who knows what's going to happen. I've stopped trying to predict it or feel good about something because you really just never know.
It is kind of crazy, though. As you point this out, I'm looking at the Steelers' schedule, but they've got, what, 6 out of 8 games inside the North?
Mm-hmm.
That's
yep.
going to be a war.
Yes, no doubt. And I think the only positive, maybe, because I don't think that's a positive when division games matter so much, is they started their first 2 games on the road. They finished their last 2 games at home, but you have that weird Christmas Day game against the Kansas City Chiefs on a Wednesday. There's a Saturday game against the Ravens with a short turn. The schedule is what it is, so you have to roll the ball out and play and hope for the best. And hopefully, you know, the Steelers are usually one of those teams that really gets it going, especially in the second half of their season, that they're able to do that. And it matters when you're playing those AFC North foes.
And some of the other teams on their schedule include the Commanders in D.C.
Right.
and the Chiefs,
right.
who are both division leaders. Wow.
Yep. You know, watched that game too yesterday, so it's definitely going to be interesting coming out of the bye, heading to D.C. for that game. And then next up, the Ravens.
Mm. How much did the Steelers welcome the bye inside the locker room as you were in there?
I think they were, you know, ready for it. I think every team's ready for it whenever your bye week is. As I said, I think just with some of the injuries that they're dealing with, probably happy to get some of those guys back and whatnot. They even have some guys that are on IR that they started that 21-day practice window, that I think you can never have enough bodies that are able to do what you're trying to do. And Tyler Matakavich, probably not a name a ton of people know, but he means a lot to that Steelers special teams unit. He's somebody I'm sure they would want back. You know, it kind of is what it is. You don't get to pick it, but I guess for the Steelers, if you did, not knowing what was going to happen and the fact you were probably playing with your fourth center, it's probably a good thing.
Before I let you go, Missy, I'm sure you hear it. I hear it a lot from Steelers fans that listen to my show, the complaints about Mike Tomlin, people who want to move on and find someone else. But here they are at 6-2. So I'm wondering, in your interaction with fans and what you've heard, how happy are they with the first half for Pittsburgh?
Well, I think, as you said, a lot of people probably not excited about moving from Justin Fields to Russell Wilson. But I think he proved everybody wrong that he trusted his gut, the plan that he had put in place before the season started, and it did work out to their advantage. So I don't know. I think it's easy. You know, if this game went a different way, I'm sure we would be able to hear people complaining about him. I'm sure there's still complaints. But, you know, you could look at the Giants too and say, like, why did you go for 2? Why was that the play? It's, you know, the beauty of sports, and especially football. I think it's always the coulda, woulda, shoulda game.
What are you going to do for the bye week? Do you get a break?
I will get a small break. I will finally get to go visit my brother and his family in Florida.
No, that sounds really nice. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad we caught up with you before that. The Steelers hit the bye at 6-2 in first place in the AFC North. You can find her, Missy Matthews, online at Missy_Matthews. It's so good to catch up with you at this midway point. We'll have to do it again as the Steelers progress. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Amy. I appreciate it.